How's your week been?
Oh, good. Busy. Very busy week, actually.
Yeah, lots and lots of what? Performing? Playing?
Yeah, lots of gigs. I had a bunch of recording work come through as well.
Okay.
And then I got a nudge for a recording piece that's been kind of like on the back burner for a while, just being like, hey, if you could get onto this. It's like, whoops, thanks for the nudge. I actually completely forgot about it. So, yeah. How about you? Busy?
Yeah, just we're still building spaceships. I'm building spaceships. Think I told you about this, that we're building spaceships.
For a show, right?
It's an immersive artwork. That's why I messaged you the other night, because I was like on the train on the way home, and I was like, I had this girl who works with me. She's young, she's 22, but she loves immersive artwork, like loves it, for absolutely, as I would say, froths for it, which as her English. She's English. She's like, what do you need froths for it? She gets all confused. She's like, that's not a saying over here. Okay, well.
I think frothing in England is the equivalent of like horny,
Yeah, exactly. A little different.
which
Little.
makes sense technically.
It does, but it's not quite what she's looking for. And so I was chatting with her, and then I was like, one of the things we talked about was like connection. And I was like, oh, okay. I wonder if there's a way of doing like connection through immersive art or a combination of that. You know what I mean?
You know what
Like
amazes
some
me?
way. Yeah.
It's like with all of my creative workshops and stuff, like the whole premise of my workshop is for people to lean into their creativity to create a better quality of life for themselves. So
Yeah.
to use that same sentiment in a production and have it interactable, it's like to show people, like interactable, immersive, is to show people what they are capable of in real time, not only sending out a message, but actually getting them to engage with it to prove it to themselves so that they have evidence before they leave.
Yeah, and I feel like with a lot of immersive artwork, like this one particularly, it's a game. It's a bit of fun, which is great, but it doesn't necessarily make the audience think. And I know in other ones they have for sure, but I don't know, there's a little bit of it that's just like, to me, too far creepy. Like the last one they did, they ran around in masks in the dark, essentially, in cool rooms and did stuff. But I don't know, I just think surely there's a way we can merge theater with immersive and make it work well, where it's not
Did you go to the
just.
Peaky Blinders experience?
No, I didn't.
That was a really well executed immersive theater experience.
Yeah.
It was in a big warehouse in Camden, and it like you go in and there's kind of like the main part that they all funnel you through, and then each actor grabs a group of people and you get split off into different rooms with different characters, and every group of people gets to engage with the story. And essentially, it depends on the audience whether the Peaky Blinders or the Italians win in the end, and it depends who steals the most money. And they count it, and the actors only find out literally 3 minutes before the final end fight who's gonna win and who's gonna not. And like, it's really complex, and there's so much that goes on all at the same time. But you know, when done well, it's a fucking incredible experience, and it was really, really well executed. So I don't know if that's something that we could potentially
Yeah, I'm gonna go do some research on that because I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah,
I'll go
it's
and do some research. Yeah, okay, cool.
I was told, what the fuck, I have a giant mosquito bite on my leg. I was also told that there was this Viking experience, this Viking immersive show in London that was on around about the same time as the Peaky Blinders, and I was told that that was fucking sick as well, as an immersive
Right.
experience.
Well, I guess I need to go see some more immersive shows. I guess that's what I'm going to be doing with my
Do
weekends
I need
next
to come
weekend.
to London and do a bit of research with you? Do I?
I think that's grand. You just let me know when. I really don't have any other news for this project. I've been busy, so I haven't actually done a huge amount. Like I said, I've been working on creating spaceships, which is
So,
exhausting.
I this week obviously I put up that little video of like my four plus month update for my mom, the video.
Yeah, that was really cute. My ass made a showing.
It did indeed. So glad you made the cut. I was always going to put that video in there.
I knew.
That style of video with voiceover and snippets of my life has engaged a lot of people. I've gained like 10
Okay.
random ass followers and like on Instagram and on TikTok. So it's just made me kind of like, huh, the behind the scenes of my life is interesting to people. And the way
People love it.
pieced it together in that
Yeah.
video was received and responded to really well. So it's really making me think like maybe I should, like, well, in terms of gathering content for both of us, I think just
Yeah.
getting little clips of shit, like, I don't
No,
know,
for
I
sure.
get little clips like that anyway all the time, just because I enjoy having little moments to reflect back on. And then sometimes maybe I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a video for my mom.
Yeah.
But just making a habit of like getting those kinds of clips, I think, is a really good idea. Because even ones that you think like, oh, when the fuck am I gonna use that? Like,
Yeah.
I think if
No, for sure.
just get
For sh yeah.
I know it's so hard to even acknowledge sometimes in the moment the specific moments that are bizarre in your lifestyle because they're so usual to you, like they're so normal to you. Like for me, fucking being able to go on random ass adventures on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you know, like shit like that that I'm like, most normal people that are trapped by the system would not know what this feels like at all.
It's funny you say that because I'm doing 9 to 5 at the moment. I've got another week left, and then we're probably going to expand because they're not going to be finished, which is actually really nice. And there's been some pros and cons. Like the big pro is that I've been able to go to CrossFit every day, and so I'm finally feeling like healthier and fitter. And like I've got that routine, which is nice as like a starting point. And then the next thing of it was like that realization of like, well, I have just like ultimate freedom at the moment of like, no, I just don't want to do that gig or whatever. It's really nice to be back to that. Far out, it's liberating. Like have weekends and be like, yeah, I just don't want to work. Or, nah, I don't really want to do that gig. Or, man, that one looks nice. You're right, you end up with these random adventures on like random days that normal people wouldn't have any idea about.
So even being in a position where you're able to say no, like I said no to an additional gig on Friday because I've been run down as fuck. So I've had my tonsils have been inflamed, but that's the only symptom that I've experienced. Like I've not had no fever, no congestion, no nothing. Like literally just my tonsils were inflamed. So yeah, I went and saw a pharmacist and she was like, she asked me all these questions. She's like, is there spotting on your tonsils? Is there this? Is there that? I'm like, no. Like, they're just inflamed. And then she was like, are you run down? And I was like, yeah. Like, I am exhausted. But it got really, really horrible. Like, swallowing was so painful. But it was the only thing. Like, literally, just
Yeah.
swallowing was uncomfortable. But they've gone down now. My left one is still a bit shit. And my lymph nodes are still a bit swollen, but in the grand scheme of things, like I'm on the way up.
Your body just needs the time. I don't think either of us realize how hard we push either. I think you're a little bit like me, where we just push and push and push because we can, and we don't think anything of it. We're like, oh, we'll just do the
Well,
next
I just
gig.
keep going because I'm
We'll
like,
just keep
I
going.
enjoy this. Like, I'm
Yeah.
choosing this. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm
It's all
doing
fine.
by choosing this. I know I understand what the consequences and the rewards are, and it's, yeah, it's easy to neglect rest, and especially like obviously when you were here, I'd had a really, really bad patch of really, really bad sleep.
Yeah.
Like Friday, thankfully, I slept for like eight hours, I think it was.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny. I donated blood yesterday, and that certainly slowed me up. And I'm actually kind of glad I did it because it's genuinely made me have to stop. And I'm like, ah, I'll do it. I donated blood, and then when I got acupuncture on my back, so like yesterday, I slept all afternoon pretty much because I came back and I was like, ooh, I feel real faint. Because of course, with half a liter less blood, plus all the fact all of that blood is now going to repairing muscle, right? What I've got left of it, I just came home and passed out. I was out for like 4 hours. I got up, I had dinner, and then I slept for 9 hours last night. I was like, okay. And today I've just this, and then I'm seeing a friend for lunch, and then I'll go back to bed. But yeah, it's like I just kind of need it. It's like I push really hard all week. I've had stuff on every day. I've been productive during the week, and it's like nope. Just need a hot minute for me. Whereas I think previously I would have pushed through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm like, eh.
Like, looked for more gigs last night. Like, I sat and watched a movie with Jordan last night.
Actually, you know what the highlight of my week has been? Indigo, who's 14, she's the one who lives with us, Siggy's daughter. She's decided that we're watching the entire Hunger Games trilogy. And we have been every night for the last week. And so each night after dinner, we sit on the couch and we watch like half of the movie because it's about an hour, because they're really long movies. And it's actually been wonderful. I'm like, oh, I get to sit here and drink a cup of tea. And she like snuggles into my side and we watch the movie and then we go to bed. And I'm like, oh, this is like genuinely the highlight of my day. It's so sweet. And the movie's great and the company's good. And it's hilarious and it's great. And then I go to bed and it's just been like every night this week. Lovely. I'm like, oh, this is what home should be like. Yeah, it is. It's so cheesy.
No, but it's like I had a little moment where I realized like I was just sitting there watching a movie. Like even when I was home with my sisters, we would watch movies all the time, but we would be doing something else. Like I would probably be sitting there like writing a script or like making something, editing a video, or like, you know, there was always a secondary productive thing that I was doing. Whereas last night I just sat there and watched the fucking movie and I was like, I needed this. And then afterwards I felt productive, so I sat on my laptop and I wrote another script for another video. And like, but I had that entire chunk of time while watching the movie where I wasn't trying to force productivity.
Yeah, no,
Like,
I
what came
totally get
naturally
it.
afterwards, I allowed to come naturally.
Well, yeah, for the last 10 years of my life, it's always been go to work, come home, ride horses. Like horses have been my entire life, and they don't ever have any time off, and there's always consistent guilt there. And then I left that, and I came here, and I hustled, and then I went to the circus, and at the circus, I'm just tired all the time, and then I've come home, and I'm like, oh, I don't have like any additional pressure here for once again. And I remember this on the cruise ship. On the cruise ship, it was the same. It was like, oh, fuck, well, I'm in the ocean in the middle of the sea and I can't do anything else. So I guess I'm going to sleep. Like, it was the healthiest and fittest I'd ever been was on that cruise ship. Maybe not the healthiest, but definitely the fittest. Because, yeah, there was no external pressures. I didn't put any on myself. And it's like, I want to go back to riding horses again, for sure. But I don't want to do it in the same ways. I don't want to have that
Yeah.
external pressure all the time of having to ride and this, that, and the other. I just want to, like, find a way to do that in a less pressure cooker way,
Yeah.
for sure.
It'd be good for you to find that balance.
Yeah, well, I guess after 30 years of adult life, maybe I'll get it right. Maybe.
Maybe you'll get it in a way that works for you.
Yeah, maybe.
You'll figure it out.
If you come up with any music thoughts for this whole project, anything inspired you recently?
I actually I was playing a gig with Gary on Thursday, sometime during the week, and he was like playing away and it inspired me. I was just thinking of like writing a like Irish inspired piece that musically moves through keys.
Bless you.
Me randomly sneezing in our conversation?
Don't know. It's hilarious.
Putting together a fucking compilation.
I've just shouldn't seizing.
Just my sneezes and hiccups.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, he was playing something and it just sparked an idea in my head and I've not had time to sit with it, but I'm very interested to see what happens when I do. Because it's just an idea for like the structure of a melody and a chord progression,
Okay.
and yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Okay. Actually, one experience I did have with on Friday on yeah, it was Friday night that I do want to share is like we were sitting in a room with a bunch of people who created the work and I'd invited everybody for drinks, right? And so there was a couple of technical there. It was like me there and a couple of the other technicians who have been like fully working on this. Like we're talking running thousands of meter of cable and like working relatively hard to actually make this creative dream magically happen. And around the fact that they're creatives, which means that they change their mind, which we're like totally here for, within reason. Sometimes it's like you don't get to change your mind that much. Like you can change your mind in the creative process. I'm totally here for that. However, if it means I now need to run another 2,000 meters of cable, probably not. So the answer there is going to be no. And I know that hurts, but we might. Fine, anything's possible, but again, not by 9 a.m. Not a single one of them came and said hello to us. Like, I've just never felt like so more out of place. I was like, why am I here? Like, no one even said hello. Like, it was like, oh, come to drinks. I was meant to start at 6. They're all still in a meeting at 6, like all the creative production team. And then they came out of the meeting, and not a single person made any effort to like introduce themselves or say hello or any of that. They just ignored us. And it was like, oh, you know, I don't. Okay, cool. And it's funny because that relationship, like all week, and I've sort of pointed it out to the team and it's getting better. And I guess I'm pretty blunt about it. But if you don't say hello to us and interact with us and you don't make me feel like you want me here and you don't say thank you, which they're starting to now, I'm not going to put the effort in to make this productive or good. Like I just do the bare minimum, which means, yeah, you're going to get your product, but it's going to be slow for starters, which means it's going to cost you more money. And second of all, it's not going to be my best work. It's going to be the work I have to be bothered doing. Like, I had to point that out to my manager the other day, the person who's sort of in charge, and be like, you do realize that your lack of a 15-minute conversation on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. cost you 2 days of somebody's work because we put it in incorrectly. And we knew it was incorrect because we all looked at the situation and goes, that isn't going to work. And you made us do it anyway because you didn't have a conversation. And now you've wasted all of our wages. And it's like, man, a 15-minute conversation and some appreciation and communication would go a long way here. And like, we had the conversation and genuinely things have improved. And that's great because it means that we're educating, right? And that we're making things better and that bigger picture things are getting better. But like, it's been really dull. It's like you've got people in these management positions who are incredibly talented, no doubt, but I don't know who they are. I don't even know what they look like. They're not making an effort to come on site. Like, I think I'm starting to get really over, and something I want to make sure I don't ever do is become a producer who isn't involved in production. I don't want to be a producer who sits in the office. Please come and do a load in. Even if you're standing there watching, or you're like labeling a cable, or you're going and getting people coffee, or whatever it might be, but that involvement of like physically seeing, and it's funny because the more crew I talk to, the more they feel the same. And I reflect like early on to when we worked with Anthony, like early on, not when everything went awry, but early on, was one of the things I loved was the fact he was there, which meant that I have to call him as a stage manager and be like, yo, mate, your stuff doesn't fit in the venue, so what do you want to do about it? And he have to come down, he have to help unload the truck, right? Because otherwise his show's not happening. And it's his show, and he has to choose what parts of his show he's not going to perform tonight. And there's something liberating about that. It's like I worked that much harder, I was that much more proactive because there was an effort there by the person promoting it and producing it.
I had a couple of moments earlier this week with just like playing gigs that were just, there was no communication and there was no briefing. Like, just the bare minimum. I'm like, how can people expect musicians and performers and creatives and artists to show up into an environment with no instruction and be able to perform to the best of their ability when you haven't given them fucking anything to work with? And that's just like another bridge of communication that like I am so sick of it being in lack.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that when you don't treat your creatives like people, or your workers like people, you don't treat people like people. They're not going to show up to the best of their capacity, to the
Yeah.
best of their ability, because you're not cultivating the environment for them to do so.
Yeah, and it's not even, I don't actually want much. A hello in the morning, how's it going? What are you doing? How can I help? What are we lacking here? Like 15 minutes of conversation with the team every day, that check-in, world's changing. Actually, I listened to the podcast by the Imperfects a lot. And one of the ones they did was they talked about a case study, and this one hit really hard. They did a case study of 100 students, and they took a test, and they all got their marks back for their test. And on they all got the same quite critical feedback from this teacher on their test marks, and none of them did very well. But 50% of those students received a sticky note on their test mark, and it said two things. It said, I understand that this work, these comments are harsh, but I believe that you can do better than this. I know you can do better than this, and I'm harsh on you because I know you can do better. So there's two things there, right? It's I know you can do better, and I'm holding you to a higher standard. And I believe that. So they went away and they came back. So they had to revise the test and then do the test again. And when they came back, they had the people who had the sticky note, 79% improvement. 17% for the ones who didn't have the sticky note. Just by the positive reinforcement of, I know you can do this and I'm holding you to a higher standard because I care, had a 79%. Now, if that's not a reflection on how you should be treating your style of like, I don't know what else to communicate there. Like, it's the positive reinforcement of communication has such a massive impact on people's work, and yet we don't do it. It's like, you can have a crappy day and yell, like, none of it matters, but the 15-minute conversation at the start or the end of the day, the bigger picture sharing, the looking after people, like that time, and everyone's like, oh, it's a waste of time having that meeting. It's probably not. Going for coffee with people at coffee break and having a chat about how they're traveling with things, like, probably not. I don't know, it's funny because within our little team, because we've obviously got this vibe of this working together now. I sat at lunch the other day and I was like, right, okay, what are we actually doing here? What are we going to break this down? And we've got somebody in the team who's a little bit slow to get on board with where we're at. And so he just needs a little bit of time to take it all in. So we just give him, I literally watch him catch up to me. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to drink my big glass of water over here. I'm going to watch you catch up. And then the others are already ahead. And then, some people have got some more special interesting things. And then we split up the work and we divide and conquer. And we're very efficient that way. But it's because we stop and we have the conversation and then we move forward, communicate. Just blows my mind that that's not the standard.
Yeah, me too. It makes so much sense for things to be run that way, for there to be like mutual respect between departments and between individuals, because it's like your piece of like the work that you're doing affects what I do, and we both want the same thing, and like that's the fucks me
The
up.
fundamental.
We all want the same thing. Like in the creative industry, the audience, the producers, the directors, the actors, the stage management, we all want the same thing, which is for the show to go well.
And so why are and like and this is a wise that's it and like why so why is this culture of like technical versus creative? Why is it our creatives are sitting at fucking front of house on lighting consoles and never talking to their technical crew? Like, dude, without them, your show doesn't go up. Be respectful. Like, bring the culture in. Like, I just it's a fundamental thing that's been in the industry for a really, really long time. And I hope whatever we create doesn't have it in it because it's dumb and it's not efficient and no one feels good. And I remember this from back in the day on like shows of like, working on musical, and I remember our head of audio getting really upset. She's like, "Yeah, of course they have a photo on stage without any of us." And it's like, "Yeah, it's pretty crap." Like, "Oh, of course they do." Like, this is the other one, the classic one. Oh, of course they're starting the party, but after we've had to do loadout, like we can't actually go to the party because we're still loading out the show. Like stuff like that. It's infuriating. Like, I get the practicality of it, but it sucks.
Yeah, it's just like not being considered,
No.
not being appreciated, not having the work that you put in be acknowledged, and like the care and attention that you put in, and just like the small thing that you've done that maybe affects people in a negative way for a split second, or like you have a moment of an attitude and people fucking snap at that instead of actually looking at, oh my God, we have a floor because they laid down a fucking floor for us, just shit
Yeah.
like that.
Yep.
It's People just have such a blatant disregard for that shit, and I fucks me off.
Yeah, me too. The same way they say, like, artists never stand in their light. Like, yeah, artists don't normally stand in their light. I get it. But also, have you ever had a conversation with them about it?
Yeah.
Like, are they not? They're not doing it on purpose. They're not like, fuck you guys, I don't want to stand in the light. That's never the case. It's always the case of, oh, I didn't know it was there, or oh, in that queue I need to stand there. Cool, now I know. The same with kids coming up. Like, we always have that issue when you do kids musical theater and stuff, right? And you put a spotlight up over in the same spot every night and the kid can't stand in it. But I've always found that when you actually go and have a conversation, you're like, hey, when you sing that moment, you gotta stand on the X. They can do it. It's just dialogue. And if they're not doing it consistently, then change something so that they can. Like, I just this blame game.
The blame
Boring.
game, and then always like people operating based off of assumption. There was so much assumption of like, it's not even assumption, it's like, oh, but they should know this. Oh, it's common sense. But common sense isn't fucking common. You never know to what degree someone has the same lens as you and approaches things the same way. Like, people don't. Everyone's got different systems that they operate in their own fucking awareness, and like, it's the assumptions kill it, because it's the whole like, "Oh, well, if you were a pro, you would know better." It's like, shut the fuck up. Have a conversation about what your
Yeah.
standards are. Set the standards, set the expectations, have the conversations, and then hold people to it by also being a fucking example.
Well, and then yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because the team I'm working with this week, like, 22, she's kind of new to the industry. She's freaking great at communicating, man. She's so good. She saved my butt this week. I was like, I can't deal with this. And she's like, that's okay, I got it. And she just like smashed it. Smashed it. Now she's learning to solder, right? Something that I've done for 10 years. Doesn't bother me. I'm not very good at it. But that's okay. But there's like, it's so nice working with a young person like her who's coming through, who's such a good communicator. And similarly, I have like another person in the team who is also of a similar age, a little bit younger. And we had to have some chats this week where I was like, right, well, why can't we just do it this way? I'm like, because we're better than that. Like, honestly, we're better than that. We're going to do it the good way. We're going to take the time to do it properly because of all of these reasons. And it was like, oh, okay then. Right. Right. And that was it. And then we had a conversation. We shut it down. We moved on. And it wasn't an issue. And we understood and we're on the same page. Like, it didn't need to be an argument. There's no resentment there. We chatted it out. We understood. We're on the same page. And we moved on with the day. It was great.
Yeah.
And the technicians coming up behind me too, they're really good. And I'm so here for it. I'm so absolutely, please take my job. A lot of them. Yeah.
That's good.
Good.
I feel like we're definitely going to make quite a good change.
I hope so. I hope whatever we create actually has a really good team around it with really different new attitudes, and we can lead by example. I really would like to do that. To be like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to cost you this much money if you look after people. It doesn't have to be this hard if you plan from the get-go. If you're on the same page as everybody else involved.
I had a moment the other day just having a conversation with one of the Kiwi guys here that runs a dance show, and like he was talking about how a lot of the businesses kind of get to a point where they'll like bring in an accountant and suddenly just have to start cutting costs, which means the performers are the ones that suffer the most. And it just popped into my head of like, this is why I encourage creativity, because like imagine bringing in an accountant and being like, "Hey, look, these are the issues that we're having. These are the solutions that we're looking at. Can you take a look at this and tell us what we can do with this amount of money without having to cut cost, like cut the pay and all that?" You need someone that wants to serve your best interest and the performer's best interest. And that is why I push creativity so much, because it doesn't matter what your line of work is. If you can lean into the creative side of it and understand that what you're doing is creating opportunity and options in everything, you're just in a better place and you'll probably want to show up more.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give someone an objective and the incentive to do it their own way, in a creative way, to make it work best within a certain list of requirements. Like, here's your mission, here's your budget. Show me what my options are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
that'll
And
do it for every department.
yeah.
And whatever you create, whether it's the accountant, whether it's the fucking like logistics manager, I want them to be creative.
Yeah, we need to have a shared vision and the people need to be on the same page and happy to have conversation. I mean, you can always have, you've always got boundaries that you need to put in place for yourself and for the show, for sure. Absolutely, that has to happen, but it's got to be within reason and a conversation, not an argument. Could be a heated discussion about that, but yeah, for sure.
Passionate.
Passionate. Yeah, it's funny too, because so much of it too we've discussed is like, where does the money come from? I guess like a lot of technicians get really frustrated because I call it magic money. It's always the money that comes out the last minute when shit's on fire. It's there. It's always there. I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. No, we've got no money. No, we've got no money. No, we've got no money. Oh, the show's not going to get up. Cheeky
Throw
20
money at
grand. It popped out. Popped out. Which is why I go in and ask for more money off the top. It's like, if you want to employ me, you're going to employ me properly. You're going to pay me what I'm worth. And I'm going to probably save you money long term. But again, we have no ability to see really what any of these productions are costing. We've got a little bit of insight. There was a couple of really good podcasts done early on by Anna Robb and her team. One of them has got a budget breakdown for a show that I will not name, that's relabeled to something else, but absolutely is the budget breakdown for that show. It was fascinating to look at. I was like, oh, it's cool. It's good to see, right? It's nice on the other end to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I am being paid fairly, or that is where the money's going. And yeah, that does make sense. It really changes. It changes your way of looking at things. You're less critical when you understand. Simple as
I get that, but that's why those conversations need to happen, and the departments need to not be like, keep this hush hush, hide this from them. Like, just fucking, like, people are gonna want to show up if you actually tell them what the fuck they're showing up for.
that. Absolutely. And if you're on the same page, yeah, no, totally.
I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Bye.
Bye. Have a good day.
You too.